Welcome to Trust the Journey. I'm Jason Maletsky.
And I'm Melanie Curtis.
Our mission is to live, laugh, love, and learn together with you.
We're here to create conscious connections, to grow and contribute through our practice of openness, honesty, vulnerability, humility, and trust. Trusting the entire journey.
If you would like to find us on the wider internet, you can go to our website, which is trustthejourney.today, and that's also the same address for all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
Yeah, right on, family. Thank you so much for being with us. Here we go. All right, guys. In this episode, I'm super excited about this, actually. I am going to be interviewing Jay about his, epic journey, I guess, hiking the Appalachian Trail. I don't know if it's an epic journey or not. We'll find out, but I'm imagining it is. So I'm excited. Yay. Yeah, cool. I mean, when I was coming up with my list of questions, I really thought, okay, I want to start with just basics. Like, what is it? Where? What are some general stats? Just so that if people aren't really familiar with it, that we can make sure they know what we're talking about before we dive into talking about your specific experience.
For sure. So the Appalachian Trail, commonly referred to as the AT, most people who are hiking it call it the AT. It's one of the three through hikes in North America. So there are three trails that run from north to south in USA. The AT is the eastern one running up the Appalachian Mountains. There's the Continental Divide, the CT, which runs up the Rockies. And there's the PCT, which follows the Sierras and the Cascades and runs from Mexico to Canada. So all three of these are the major through hikes in the USA.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. So when did you do it?
My through hike was in 2012.
Okay. Yeah, and what was your goal doing it? Like, what was your intent? Was it just, I want to finish it? You know, what was your goal taking this on?
Well, the whole reason for wanting to do it in the first place, I think, is the goal of, like, what's the drive, what's the motivation? Because, the goal of the journey is the experience. It is literally the journey. It's pretty ironic type of analogy to be discussing. Right. It's actually the journey that is the goal. So
that's kind of cool, actually. I love that.
Yeah. It's commonly thought of as a pilgrimage. You know, it's the type of thing where you change the way that we live life and move through the world to a way that was much more common millennia ago, you know, where you traveled on foot over the land and you saw everything on a day-to-day passage and you made your way across the land by your own power, and it's a different pace. So the goal is to be present in this passage of time and space.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's funny asking the question of what was your goal, and I thought it was a different question to be like, what inspired you? Because it sounds like they're the same, but I would also want to ask that question. Like, what inspired you? Was there some impetus? Did something happen in your life that made you go, I'm going to do this? Or was it just something you came up with? You know, like, what was the inspiration behind actually taking it on?
For sure, those are totally different questions, right? My first exposure to the Appalachian Trail, to finding out that this existed and that it's something that it's a thing and people do this, they hike these grand distance. The total length of the trail is 2,170 miles, if I remember correctly. And that's like the official length of it. And I used to travel as a child, summer vacations, winter vacations. We would come down to Florida from Toronto and with my mother, and we would drive across or under a bridge with the signage that says Appalachian Trail. And I can remember being 6 or 7 years old and seeing the sign and knowing that we're driving through the Appalachian Mountains and speaking with my mother and her telling me about it being this grand trail that runs from, the southern end to the northern end, or the north to south along this Appalachian Trail mountain range. And so that was my first engagement with it. And I remember it, that's truly where it started. It's been a lingering, like an ideology, like, wow, imagine that this is something that people actually do. They actually, because we drove that, we drove the whole length from Canada down to Florida. And so understanding how far that is by driving it, thinking about walking it, is just like, wow, I don't know, how is that even possible? Never mind that you'd be walking through the mountains. So I've always been inspired by this ideal that people would take on this type of a physical endurance mission, and imagined that it had a lot of mental and like a balance of both mental and physical strength and challenge of endurance involved in it. So that was where it f started. What carried it on in my life was that I continued coming to Florida a lot. And I also lived in Massachusetts for a short period and spent some time there. And very close to where I was in Northampton, Massachusetts, in the Berkshires there, the Appalachian Trail passes right by. And there's another bridge with a sign on it there. And so through my 20s, I was continually reminded that this existed. And it's always felt like this distant concept that I didn't truly have a relationship to, and I didn't truly understand, but I knew that it was going on, and it was right there in the woods, not that far from where I lived. There's this trail, and people would go walking by, and they were on this epic journey and this personal transformation. So I always had it lingering in the back of my mind. And coming into my 30s, my life goals and my passions, the things that were important to me, hit a azimuth of achievement. And I found myself kind of sitting on the mountaintop and just looking around and not really knowing which way I was going to head down the mountain next, proverbially, like where am I going from here type of thing. And I wanted to take some time to step out of the day-to-day that we're all so familiar with, that's so comfortable and so ingrained and is so connected, all the time to cell phones and computers and jobs and all the things and communities, and just break away completely from all the things that are so modern day and go back to what is really that deeper connection with the earth and the self, and take on an adventure, a grand adventure through the forest and the mountains, and with my partner at the time.
Yeah. Oh
So
gosh.
it's
And you're talking about when you became, or I get, I mean, not that you were the world champion in skydiving, correct? Is that so
Yeah,
you're on the
correct.
mountaintop of skydiving world championship and you, I, what I love, I hear this and I go, wow, so cool, because there was this intentionality, it sounds like, in going, I want to take on something big. I want to have a significant experience. Because, and that isn't necessarily with a guaranteed outcome. It's with a an intent, clearly. I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to have this experience of self. I'm going to have this experience with the earth and share it with my partner and whatever other motivations you had. I love that, because that's a thing, I think, when people really do achieve their goals. And then they're like, huh, oh, I was so focused on this thing for so long. I'm not really sure necessarily what to do next. And I love that you're showing people, at least this is how I hear it, is that in those moments of, oh, wait, I didn't realize there would be more past me achieving this goal. Right? Like, I've
Well,
had that
yeah,
experience, you know?
absolutely. This, let me
Yeah,
share on
please.
something that was a very powerful observation in the experience. The demographic, the age group that I was in at the time would have been the 35 to 45 year old range. I was 39 at the time. And of the people who are actually on the trail, we were by far the smallest demographic. The majority of the people who are actually engaging on this hike are either straight out of college, where they've just graduated and they've done exactly the same thing. They've met their goal that they've tried, they've been focused on their whole life of getting through college, and they finish college and they go, I'm not ready for real life. And they go, I'm gonna run into the woods, and then they just keep on walking, you know? And the opposite, the polarity to that is that the rest of the people that you meet are actually retirees. They're people who hit 55, 60, and they're good. They've clocked out of their job, and now they're gonna do that thing that they've been waiting their whole life to go do. And honestly, I feel pretty bad for them because they're having a hard time, because it's really hard when you're in 55, 65 to start hiking.
Wow.
The post grads who just got out of school, they're like young, you know, they're 20
Yeah.
and they're just charging, and they're like, yeah, cool, I can do this with very, very little support and an incredible level of endurance. And it was very interesting to be in that middle. And we only met a few other people in our journey that were truly in that same kind of almost 40 range, or just over 40, who unplugged from society to say, check it out for a while.
Yeah, I just feel like it's so hugely beneficial to for people listening who have gotten to that point of I've reached a major goal and now I don't know what to do, because that can be such a like discouraging place when you find, you know what I mean? I don't know about you, but it's w like wonderful having the experience of achieving something huge and wonderful that you wanted to achieve, that you focus so much of your life on, and then very daunting and scary to have open space in front of you that you genuinely have not considered. And so it's almost like you don't have to have the answers. You can say, I'm going to go on this and have this experience. It doesn't have to be walking the Appalachian Trail. It could be something else, but I just love that you decidedly filled the space with something that most likely would deliver you some really quality, high quality insights. Is what I would, it's sort of how I'm hearing it, but and I'm also wondering about the actual experience itself, of course. Like, what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced when doing it? Or is there more that you'd like to say about it before we go there?
Well, for sure, a few things. I mean, I'll definitely echo your sentiment there that when I found myself becoming a world championship, the first time I ever won a world championship, I think I've said it before, I've never been more lost in my whole life. As soon as I had was actually standing there, having walked off stage and holding my medal in hand, I didn't know where to go, what to do, who I was. Like, I was just lost, because the point on the horizon that I had been walking towards for so long just passed me, and it wasn't behind me anymore. It was like I was standing there holding it, so it was all around, and it really changed my perspective as to where I was and who I was and what I was doing. And so I felt like I needed new direction, but I didn't know what the direction was, so I really just needed some time to think.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge advocate that time in nature is really, really, really valuable asset in this world, in this life. So I echo what you're saying, that quality time comes from salt for me, comes from solitude. It comes from doing deep, hard work and finding the time to think and the time to slow down and the time to connect to self, and really just engaging in some practices that are routine and structured and allow for the both sides of the paradigm to exist. Extreme routine, extreme structure, clear oriented goal, and then vast unknown, couldn't guess what challenges lay ahead, you know, constant variables. And so it holds this really powerful place of the known and the unknown, and just riding that line in between and being okay with it. And one of my favorite phrases becomes very, very relevant in these kinds of times, and that's embrace the insanity.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really loving being present in that moment. So
Yeah.
let me throw some stats at you so
Yeah,
you
let's
have
do it.
some numbers. The average number of people that start the trail every year with the intention to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail, meaning that they plan to start at one end and walk to the other in some way, shape, or form, is about 3,500 people. And the number of people that finish it every year is about 150.
Wow.
So it's an incredibly high attrition rate, meaning people just can they start thinking it's going to be fun and they're going to love it, and they get a little ways down the road and they go, "Oh my, I was not prepared for this. This is way harder than I thought." And
I'm laughing
so,
because that is
yeah.
so exactly the nature of life coaching work. People come in, they say, "Yes, Mel, let's do this." And they're like, "Yeah, I'm doing it, I'm doing it." And this is normal, I think, for any version of growth or any great goal we take on. And I say that because I believe life coaching is, and doing that deep internal work is a great goal. And so inevitably it has those peaks and troughs, but it's I actually like that I have the opportunity to say that because I would like people to know it's legit work. It is not easy, you know, and that's why I have such fierce respect for people who go on those internal quests as well. So yeah, anyway, I just love the parallel of that metaphor.
Yeah, it's really amazing actually to that was some of the one of the things, like when we started out on this mission, we chose into it about 2 years before actually starting it. So I also met people who also just started, like they just got a pack and started walking, and they didn't even plan to go more than say one state. And I met a one fellow along the way. And he's just like, "Yeah, things were not going good at home. I wanted to go hiking for a weekend. I thought maybe I'll do 100 miles, and then I decided to do 500, and then I decided to do the whole thing,
My
you know,
goodness.
and just
Wow.
didn't go back to work, kind of thing, and like called the boss from the trail, you know, that
See in
kind
6 months.
of stuff." Yeah, no, it's like I'm quitting. I don't think I'm coming back, kind of thing. I'm having a new life ahead of me,
Even
type of
better.
stuff. Yeah, it's awesome. So we decided 2 years in advance and did a number of preparation hikes and did a number of iterations of equipment and did a lot of study and rehearsal and working through understanding what we were doing. And why I feel like we were successful in completing the whole trail in one through hike was because of the doing the research and understanding that of the 3,500 people who start, only 150 make it, and why people fail
Yeah.
and why people fall off, and addressing those issues and learning about where the big challenges are likely to lie before actually starting the mission. So it is part of the journey, is the education period to the true understanding of what, to the best of our ability, what is going to lie ahead.
Sure, that
Of course, of
preparation
course.
piece.
Yeah, but it's never boots on trail, you know, is a great term. It's like we use this in base jumping a lot too, where you're like, what time are we going to be boots on trail? And that's the difference between the time of arriving in the parking lot and the time of actually starting walking. There's a gap in there where you're getting stuff organized and things, people talking and exchanging information. And so that's the same thing with the AT. There was 2 years of prep work before we were boots on
Yeah.
trail. And then the trail is a whole other experience. So
Yeah, that's
it's a
amazing.
big.
I love that respect. It's funny. That actually makes me think of like Luke Aikens and the landing in the net thing. Is like people see that and go, "Oh, that guy's nuts." And I mean, I did a whole video on this, but like I'm sure you've talked with people about this, but I see that as such a great example of what we can do in terms of preparation to confirm and ensure success to the best of our ability and to really mitigate risk, whether it's actual safety of our well-being physically and mentally, but also execution of the goal that we have. In your case, finishing this long, arduous physical and mental journey.
Yeah, for sure. So, what do
Yeah. Oh God, I want to know
you
so
want
much. I
to
really am curious about the experience itself also. So you've gone through all this prep, you've really done the work to go, okay, we've done all we can, as much as we can. We feel good about the level of preparation. We are stepping onto the trail with a feeling of confidence given our work ahead, given that preparation period and the work that we've done then. So then I almost want to know, How did it feel stepping on the trail when you first started? Like, tell us maybe about that starting experience first, and then we can go into maybe challenges that you faced.
Well, it's an endurance event. So the thing about endurance events is that early on, they're not that challenging, and they start off with kind of a false sense of reality. So our first day on trail, the southern terminus of the trail is at Springer Mountain, which is in northern Georgia. And we got dropped off by a friend there. And of course, we just took some photos on the trailhead where we're getting dropped off in the car. And we completely photographed the entire journey. And so we start at the southern terminus. And the first day, we planned a hike of 8 miles, and which is fairly conservative for hikers that are in any kind of shape already. And so we planned to do 8 mile days for our first week, to hold consistency in our pace so we didn't start sprinting on a marathon.
Right.
And it's very easy to try to do too much or go too fast or carry too much and overdo things early on, and it is endurance. So it was a little bit disappointing in a way that the beginning of the trail would be like, you hike for a few hours and then we'd stop and we'd be done. And we're like, we could go more than this and be like, no, we made a plan. Stick to the plan, hold the lap periods, the times, so that we don't start hurting physical damage. And so it's very anticlimactic. And our goal was to complete the trail in about 5 months. So the first week, you're just scratching the surface of what's to come. And the thing is, 5 months is a lot of a year. I mean, you're just talking about almost half of a year. So we started the trail in early March. I believe it was March 7th, if I can recall correctly. So it is winter.
Yeah.
It is still no buds on the trees. The trees are sticks. There's no leaves anywhere. Everything's still the last fall's leaves. It's still cold. We had a lot of, 20-degree days where you're in gloves and hats and it's properly winter, and we have big puffy sleeping bags, and nights were very blustery and snowy. And so it wasn't really fun at the beginning. It seemed this kind of like, oh, God, what's this is, I don't know. And you're encountering a lot of other people that are starting at the same time. So kind of sussing up the characters that are around you and sussing up yourself and kind of looking at where we're at, bigger picture, and how we feel about the planning that we've done and the preparation that we've done. And it was reassuring to get started, to feel like it wasn't that hard at the beginning.
Yeah. Do you need a pass to do it? Like, do you have to sign up? Like, 'cause I'm thinking of the one time I went to Yosemite with my friend. Like, we had to, plan ahead to like be at midnight ready to get the pass. Is there anything similar with the Appalachian Trail?
No, it's open to anybody who wants to do it any time, but during the busy time of year when most people are starting, there are trail angels, volunteers who sit at the trailhead and record everybody's information as they start. And then at the halfway point, there is the official, I believe it's the headquarters for the conservancy is in West Virginia. And so then again, you can stop in and check in at that location. And then at the northern terminus, there's another check-in. So these are the 3 points where you do officially walk in, sign a book, date, photograph who you are, where you started, where you've been, that kind of thing, where you're going. So I believe we checked in on March 7th, 2012,
Yeah.
if I remember correctly.
I mean, I have to re I genuinely want to know about the challenges because I cannot imagine, again, and it doesn't necessarily have to be everything, but what's a challenge that sticks out as like, this was hard and we got through it? Like, was there any point that you thought about stopping? Like that type of like, oh my God, because 5 months, 2,200 miles, whatever it is, that is, I hear that and I go, wow, I don't have a whole lot of significant hiking experience. So I'm asking these questions from a place of really relative newbiness in terms of a big hike experience like this. The only experience I have that even comes close is a few days in Yosemite, like I just mentioned. And so I feel like I recognize, I don't really understand what this exacting type hiking big project experience takes. You know what I mean?
So the biggest challenge, I'd say, is truly education and being well prepared, because fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter how strong you are, you're going to wear yourself down. You're going to get stronger at the same time you're going to get weaker. So what I mean by that is, it's such an endurance challenge to continue holding a pace over such a long period of time that parts of you are going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. I mean, your cardio is going to become ridiculously good, respiratory ridiculously good, and leg strength just out of this world. But at the same time, I mean, you're going to burn off all fat on your body and you're going to become very, very lean. And physically, it's a pounding on the joints, and it can your feet grow at least a shoe size from all the wear and tear. So that's puffy, sore, really beat up feet. So the challenge, I think, the biggest challenge is truly in education and understanding how to run the long race and how to be the tortoise and not the hare. Because it really, the mental challenge, the mental part of us wants to like run ahead, but the tortoise knows to just hold that steady pace. And that applies to everything. It's in strategy. The greatest challenge on route isn't the mud or the rain or finding a good place to camp. It's the strategy that you hold for yourself mentally to be able to make the decisions that are necessary along the way in order to maintain a level of mental fortitude that's necessary to not want to reach for the I quit handle.
Oh, yeah.
You
Yeah.
know?
Oh, yeah. That's huge.
My gosh, you have no idea. Like, it is looming. Like, all you got to do is pull that handle. Just pull, and you're just going to be like, that's it, I'm out of here. You see it happen. I mean, you just got to think by the numbers, right? Thousands of people start and only 100 and change finish. So that's just people every single day around you just going, fuck this. I'm going home, you know, and pulling the handle, and they're ejecting, and they're like, I'm out. And it's all around you. So you have to have this like blinders to that as a potentiality.
Yeah, and it's funny because I also am curious, like, what would you say would be a reason that would, a valid reason, not to invalidate other people's choices. Of course, people, if they decide to stop, that's completely valid. I mean it more like, if what would have been something that would have had you actually stop?
Well, we had to stop a couple of times due to injury.
Okay, injury. Yeah, that makes sense.
When I was injured a couple times, and at those times I couldn't carry on. It didn't make sense to put my body in greater physical harm than it was already being damaged. So at those times we stopped. We never really left the trail, which is a difference. Some people choose to take periods of time off and then maybe go to a family engagement, like somebody's getting married or they have something they need to attend to. And we chose to do what people would call a purist through hike, and that was to start at one terminus and travel on foot in one direction the whole way and walk every single mile, every single step of trail to the other terminus in one go all the way through. And there's a thousand different variations of that, whether it's doing like a lot of people. I met a few people who did a state a year,
Oh, wow.
and every year they take a month or a week or whatever it takes to hike one of the states. And so over 14 years they hike the entire Appalachian Trail by doing it in chunks. And some people do something called a flip-flop, where you're like, start at the southern terminus and then hike north to the midpoint and then jump on a plane or a car and drive to the North Point and start hiking south and end up back at the mid, so that half of it's done hiking north and half of it's done hiking south. And there's all kinds of different ways to mix it up. I always just really liked that the idea that since it was a pilgrimage to us, that we wanted to just basically walk the trail from one end to the other as if there weren't another way to do it.
Yeah, it's like that's the way, the idea, the goal, the mission that inspired you, which is super cool. And I also love that you're pointing to there are different ways to do things. And when we choose one way or the other, likely we'll get maybe the same things, maybe we'll get different things out of it in our imagination or extrapolation of that forward. Like, what are we going to get? You know, a part of me wants to ask too about the blinders thing before we move forward. About, because I imagine people
Please, yeah, please do.
listening, what?
Please do.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
imagine
ask.
people listening hear that, like, oh, you have to just, you see people quitting all around you. You have these, all these sort of, you're seeing all this stuff. There's lots of opportunities and lots of reasons and lots of brain conversation, internal dialogues that says, okay, you can just pull the I quit handle, yada yada. You've gotten this far. This is so good. Whatever it's saying in your mind. And I would wonder, how do you keep those blinders on? Like, how do you actually do that? How did you do that? Because I imagine people are like, oh, I'd like to be able to do that. I'd like to have a bit more grit, a bit more discipline, or whatever it is that it takes to keep those on and continue forward with a firm commitment to the goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to say that one of the things that definitely needs to be mentioned here that is of true value to recognize is that we were a team. And as a team, we committed to the same goal. And that commitment was unquestioned and clearly defined, written down. How do we want to do it? Why do we want to do it? What are we trying to accomplish? Like we clearly said when, where, how, all the things. And we m found the middle ground. It wasn't just like, this is what I want. Do you want what I want? It's like, let's talk about all the things and figure out what really makes sense. Like strategize what the day number is based on our training and what we think it should look like and all the research information. So collectively setting goals that we felt were achievable for ourselves based on self-evaluation and prior preparation and training, and then also choosing to challenge ourselves to a certain level. So we set a goal of 158 days, and our dream was to make it in like 153 days. And we left ourselves up to like 180 days if we needed more time, if we like had injury that needed rest or anything that slowed us down, then we gave ourselves a big window beyond so that we could meet our goal of completion, even if it meant it took a lot longer. And in reality, we ended up arriving at one day away from the end of the trail at 149, and we took the last day off at the 149th day. We just like, let's take a day off. We're 4 days ahead of schedule, you know? So we actually just took a full, what they call a 0 day, a day when you do no hiking, so that we could be fully rested and do the last 7 or 8 miles or whatever was left on the 150th day. And so we beat our goal by 3 days, but that comes down to all the work, like the reality of why we were able to complete it and where that grit, that top part, it's not grit, it's structure and planning and sticking to the plan and being flexible to it where it needs to be flexible, but also being adhering to that and just holding, having an achievable goal based on knowing our level of performance, you know?
Yeah, that is so awesome to hear. I'm such a huge, massive believer in teamwork. I mean, that
Oh
is
yeah.
for 10
Massive.
years, And I keep going back to the life coaching only because I love so much the epic journey parallel, as I said earlier. But I've always framed the work that I do in that area of my life as a team. We're a team for our shared goals. You have a certain set of goals as a person that's, you know, and I'm a teammate. I'm your teammate. So whatever those goals are, we'll talk about them. It's like basically everything you just said. And that inspires me so much. I don't know why. I mean, I'm sure I could have, but I'd go into a long diatribe, which I will not do today.
Next
next
episode.
episode, long diatribe. Yes. But yeah, oh, I just love that. Do you think it would be achievable? I mean, how do you think it would have been different without having a teammate? I mean, I know that's sort of a weird question to ask, but I'm just
No,
curious, you know?
it's not. I actually did a 8-day solo hike as one of my training hikes early on. I tried out the idea of a longer hike and did it by myself. And I have to say it was kind of boring. I
Nice.
enjoy the companionship and the communication and the sharing and sharing in all aspects, sharing in pain and sharing in struggle and sharing in laughter and comedy and sharing in embracing the insanity. That's the most fun. I think the most fun part is when it gets to the point of breaking point, and then you just teeter back and forth on the edge of like, I don't know who's got control, but it's not me. And you just allow it to just keep riding that line, you know. But as long as you just keep moving forward, it just, you know, it's like a motorcycle or bicycle, just keep it moving. Don't stop or it'll fall
Oh
over,
my
you
God.
know.
The life is comedy premise, the tone, that is,
Oh yeah.
oh, that's a, you know me, that's a core belief I hold. And it's so, the extremity of life can be so freaking hilarious sometimes. And I love that you're like, in this experience, we absolutely accessed that.
It's our savior.
Yeah.
This is not a, I mean, this is a bigger thing for life as a metaphor for life, right? You know how much I like that paradigm. Life is a metaphor for life. If you don't allow your, at least for, I'm speaking for myself, if I don't allow myself to just fall into this place of this is ridiculous and this is hilarious and it's absolutely just so, such a joke. It's comedy everywhere. If I don't do that in these experiences, I don't think I can do it, because if I start taking it too seriously, then it starts to become unfun and then I don't want to do it anymore. And so life is that same paradigm, you know. If and I mean I'll just say, if I look at the world of government at the same time, I go, this is hilarious. And if I attach myself to it and take it too seriously, I'm gonna want to quit,
Yes.
you know, and be like, I don't want any part of this. This is ridiculous, you know. But if I look at it and just go, this is hilarious, that's
Oh
great.
my
Then
God.
it's this, and there's so many times in life where it's like that,
Oh
right?
my God, yes. For me, yes. Oh God,
Oh.
I definitely look around life all the time with a lens of comedy. I mean, again, not that there aren't moments of seriousness and intensity and focus and connection and love and all the other things that are amazing in life. Just to say that, oh dang, that's a lens that persists in my life experience, and I'm glad it does. I'm glad I choose that so often.
It's one of my deeply spiritual connective pieces in myself. I truly believe that at its core, the universe, and when I say the universe, I mean all things, you, I, everybody else, all things that exist, all forms of life, all forms of matter, all forms of energy, is
I
hilarious.
do too. It's winking at us all the
It's,
time. Like,
yeah.
oh, you thought this? What about this? Wink. I'm
Yeah,
like, God damn
totally.
it. God damn it,
Yeah, it's,
universe.
the universe has a sense of humor, the
Yes.
best sense of humor ever.
So, back to your story and the epic journey and this massive accomplishment. Obviously, you finished it. You finished it ahead of your goal. I want to know a couple of things. So, The big takeaways, definitely, but just stay with me for a second because maybe one is more relevant or more top of mind than the other right now. I'm imagining that completion point and wondering how it juxtaposes the completion point of the World Championship. Like, did you feel just as lost? Were you more clear? Did you find insight? Like, you know what I mean? So what was the sort of end point experience and or your biggest takeaways?
That's a really good question. I feel like that is very powerful to guide this interview to a deeper point. And so excellently done.
Thank you. And I'm genuinely curious. Like that's where my curiosity does go to depth. And if we even highlight that for people listening, you know, keep being curious. Ask more deeply if you are wondering and wanting to know those things, because thank you.
So I would have to say that there was a very different experience in the completion. It's interestingly ironic in the sense that the journey to becoming a world championship was decades long. The journey to complete the Appalachian Trail by foot was actually 150 days, in all reality 2.5 years from initiation of, you know, starting momentum. But I found myself, I would say we found ourselves much more grounded in the completion of the journey, as it truly felt, how do I say this? What I didn't know as an athlete training to become a world champion was that the important part was the journey. Nice. Right? I thought it was about becoming the champion and getting, like, winning, like the last line in the story.
Yeah.
And what I knew in the journey on the Appalachian Trail on the AT was that the completion of it is the cherry on the sundae. But the cherry on the sundae is not the whole sundae. And so it was a very, going into it, experiencing it, living it, being present to it, was a very different ride as a whole. And that was so much more gratifying. And when I came out of it, ironically, I went back to doing what I was doing before. I went back to doing some more training, but my training felt like I had felt during the time on the trail, where I was like, I was in my training. I was loving my presence to being in that day, in that jump, in that moment, in that instant. And the goal ahead was so much less relevant. I really didn't care, per se, how well I performed at the competition that I was training for. I cared more about how much I enjoyed training.
Oh, so amazing. So amazing. I feel like that is such an amazing, powerful share for anyone who finds themselves really attached to outcomes and has difficulty.
Excuse me.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that sounds, right? It sounds so basic. But, like, that's a pain point for so many. You know, like, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy when. It's like, oh, that is such a tragedy, I think, in the human experience. I love that we are lending insight to, you know what I mean? Something that a mindset shift, just the possibility at all that a person can basically stop being attached to outcomes out in the future while still caring about them. Because it's not that you're not caring about them, but you're caring and putting your success and attaching your success, quote unquote, to how you feel and how you're being in your life and your goal path. Oh, I just think that's wildly inspiring.
The day-to-day, when, I mean, you get bored. Because time is passing and the same thing is happening all the time. And I guess this is another one of these wonderful metaphors, is that day after day, the same arduous journey, you get up, You pack up your tent, you make breakfast, you start walking, you walk until lunch, you eat lunch, you walk until dinner, you put up your tent, you go to bed. You know, it's pretty arduous in its doldrum of repetition. And at the same time, it's ever changing and new. So the awareness to that was very profound, especially with regard to the seasons changing, because we got to witness the winter, spring, summer transition. So from being completely bare and forest with nothing green to being fully lush and present to the height of summer. And every single day spent in that environment of absolutely na na absolute nature the whole time, it really changes your clock, the time relevance. You're like, oh, 5 months is such a long time. And no, it's not. It's like one shift. It's literally one click on the clock, you know, from being cold to warm. And that's going to click again from being warm to cold. And so you could just think of that. That's a polarity shift from one side to the other, from one side to the other. So we went one click on the clock, which felt like 150 clicks every little tiny bit of the way. And that's a total of 6 million clicks if you count your steps. So
Wow. Gosh. Would you?
the
Yeah, go
the
on.
one more thing I'd like to accent that with
Please.
is that in the moments when the doldrum of the day-to-day starts, the grind is happening and the mind starts wandering and the attention and interest wary or focus goes on to pain or suffering or the parts of, it's just very, very much like meditation. It's crazy. Then I found it so incredibly powerful to learn how to attach to a positive internal vibration rather than allowing a negative internal vibration to become the dominant one.
Say that again. I'm not quite,
So
I feel
you're
like I'm with
walking
you, but I
along.
want to
Yeah,
really understand
yep.
this. Yeah.
Okay, I'm walking along and my feet hurt and my knees hurt and I'm tired and my pack straps are rubbing me raw and I could keep going down this list of things that suck and that hurt and why I'm tired and why I don't want to walk anymore and how stupid this trail is and why did I start this mission and this just sucks and that's it, I'm quitting. Or I can go, man, my feet really hurt today. Yeah, man, my knees are sore too. Whew, yeah, this hurts. Dang, yes, it does. Sure does. Yeah, I started this mission. Yeah, that was me.
Go me.
Yeah, and I'm gonna finish this mission. You know, and just gotta go a little bit to the like embrace that the positive side. Like I can go down the rabbit hole of negativity, and I can, or I can turn up the volume, turn up the intensity, and just go, these things are realities. But there is a reality here which also exists if I acknowledge it, and that is that this is fun.
Yeah. And that is so huge too, because that's so relevant, obviously, in any area of life where we start to go down a negative thought cycle. And I almost am thinking about how, like, oh, I could focus on the positives. And then there's that experience of resisting that as reality. No, the reality is the negative. Like the mind really wants to resist. Can for some really want to resist those positive thoughts. And I bring up what we resist persists. And so it's not necessarily an easy skill set to learn and master that mindset stuff, and to really say, okay, I'm going to shift my mindset to a positive one and really go there. That's like a thing. You know what I mean? As opposed to being like, I'm in resistance now, but I'll just be positive. That doesn't obviously actually energetically help us, but really like going, okay, what is the actual for real positive that I truly believe is real and positive? Because that has an energetic effect on me that is different than just saying the positive thing. You know what I mean? So I acknowledge that too. And I acknowledge that is such a massive, powerful skill in any area of life.
Yeah, it's mandatory. I mean, we could tell on the trail instantly upon meeting somebody else whether or not they were going to complete the whole trail or not.
Wow. What was the
Instantly.
sign? What was the telltale signs?
Well, the conversations start exactly the same way every single time. Every time you meet somebody, like, hey, what's your name? How far are you going?
Got it.
You know? And people would say, you're like, oh, are you hiking the whole trail? And you'd be like, well, that's the plan. And I'm like, well, that's the plan is not, yes, I'm hiking the whole trail. So you could always hear definitive variations on explanation of what was happening. Be like, yeah, I sure hope so. You know, and like, nope, they're not going to make it.
Yeah, well, that speaks to commitment. I've heard this with people talking about, I mean, this happened with my publishing my book. Once I actually committed, I'm like, I am, it is going to be done by this date. That's when it happened. As opposed to, and people when they quit smoking or do something else that's tough. I'm just recognizing really hard things, completing the Appalachian Trail, tough. Like it's almost like it seems like it requires a commit, like an unwavering commitment, which is hard for me to speak, like to say, because then I go, well, what about flexibility? But there is something about a commitment that doesn't necessarily mean it has to happen in a certain exacting way. Like you guys had scope for it to happen, but making it happen was, you know, your commitment. What happened? What would you have done if you went past 180 days? You know, did you have, or is that just something you're like, we're not going to do that. We're not going to think about that. We're going to box our mind to this. And then if we have to cross a different bridge, we will. Like, what was your
No,
experience with
well,
that?
the reason why we had it set to that date was because we had other plans. We wanted to be done by, because it's like, how much time had we taken off work? How much time had we allocated towards this? What are the things do we have coming up in our life post being on the trail? So it was boxed in by these future events we had on our calendar. But I wanted to say something with regard to the flexibility because I think it's a very important thing to recognize is you got to think about it like a guitar string or a piano string, where the goal is to travel the length, and the line is pretty straight and pretty tight, but it is going to waver a lot during that journey. And that doesn't mean, you know, a guitar string's tight. It's pretty stiff, right? But it's flexible at the same time. It's got a sure direction that it's traveling in, but there's going to be a lot of variation as to what's going on, depending on where you touch it or how hard you pluck it. And that is the same as the journey down the trail because our mission changed radically through I mean, there were times when we were like, all right, well, this plan that we had made, we're going to toss that. And we're going to pick up a new plan based on what we've learned in the process of committing. So, some of the things that we like, one of the things that I committed to was finding a pair of shoes that I was really happy with and then buying a bunch of pairs of them and having them shipped along the way so that we pick up a new pair of shoes about every 500 miles or so because they're destroyed after about 500 miles. And I stayed with the same pair of shoes the whole time, but my wife, Fernanda, she got about two-thirds of the way through, and she's like, I need different shoes. These are not, even though I bought five pairs of these, they're gonna stay in the box, and I'm gonna stop, and we're gonna go to a shoe store, and we're gonna find some shoes that I like better and change the plan because it needed to have a variation shift to one degree, like a retuning of the string in order to keep it on path because sometimes we make choices that we think are best for us at the time, but they're not truly what we need to get us from one place to another.
I love that you can only actually know that you needed to make that different choice once in the experience itself that is informing you of that new knowledge. Yeah, amazing. I love it. Well, if you had any final thoughts for the listeners as to what you would want them to take away from your experience, what would it be?
Well, I learned some very, very powerful insights in this experience. And it's strange that when you ask me that, it could be such a vast, like, could come back with any kind of answer about, what I learned or felt or experienced or teamwork or, And I think the biggest thing that I came to be aware of is the forest as a whole, that this ecosystem, this is a very earthy, connected to the planet thing. There used to be a lot more trees on this earth than there is now. And trees are what make soil. Decomposing wood, which is being decomposed by mycelium, the fungal undergrowth in the forest is what decomposes the wood. That's what creates all the soil that is sustaining us today. The soil that exists on the earth now is created by the forest that we once had. All those forests have grown and died and turned to soil. A lot of that soil has gone through its lifespan and it's turned to dust and it's now deserts and it's gone. But if we keep cutting down all the trees, then there's not going to be more new soil being formed. And if we don't have new soil being formed, then we don't have what's most important to sustaining our life, which is this system of replenishment for ourselves. And the fungal mats, the mycelium that lives underneath, if you spend a lot of time in the forest, you'll realize the ground is actually very soft. It's not so hard everywhere. And we need to protect our forests. We need to protect our rivers. They're our lifeblood. They're our veins. They carry the fluid that we're made of. So a deep, deep connection to nature is just so profound to leave these experiences with.
Oh, I love it. And I think I have, learning about the mycelium and that we can share in the show notes about the Joe Rogan episode with Paul Stamets, which was very
Yeah.
enlightening
Powerful.
about fungal networks and stuff like that. That learning more about the earth has been really enlightening for me as well. And anyway, thank you so much for sharing, Jay. This has been super cool. That hour went like instantly fast. I feel like it was over in a second. Wow.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, dang, yeah, of course. And just to continue with our new sharing what we're experimenting with, that's
Yes.
so I'll quickly share. I thought, well, just to dive into it, I'm experimenting with, and I have been for a while, I'm experimenting with saying thank you, where I formerly would say sorry. I used to be, and I still am, an inappropriate, quote unquote, inappropriate sorry sayer in certain experiences. But that is something I've been working on and really consciously experimenting with, saying, instead of saying, like, oh, sorry, I'm, just got here, I would say something like, thank you for your patience. Not that I'm really late that much. I'm wildly time conscious, but like, that's an example of, like, instead of saying, sorry, I'm late, I would say, oh, thank you so much for your patience, something like that. Having certainly communicated and keeping integrity in my word and stuff. But yeah, so that's something I'm working on and I like it. I am definitely continuing it and I will keep you posted. What about you?
Awesome. I love that one. It's one that I've been practicing for some time as well, and I've seen the change in myself as a result of having practiced that. And I appreciate people more is the outcome of that, is I end up valuing the people rather than there being a devalue in the end result. So this is a really simple one, and it's come and gone at times in my life, but lately I've really felt it to be a powerful present piece of being present and of self-love and of doing something really simple for myself that really makes a big difference. And that's making my bed.
Cool.
Making my bed every day, just getting up. And sometimes I walk around, I'm like, whatever, and I go, no, Jay, make your bed. go take 2 seconds, tidy it up, stack it up. And when you walk past it next time, it looks better. Feel better about it. When I go to crawl into bed at night, it's nice. And yeah, it's simple, but it matters. It's those little things of commitment to little pieces of structure like that that are helping me on my road to having consistency in my life that supports my inner sense of well-being.
Totally. The energetic impact of that stuff. Well, I love it, my friend. Yeah. Anything else before we dive out of this one?
No, I just want to say thank you. That was great. I really enjoyed recalling a lot of the values of the experience. And it was, I kind of expected that we would talk about a lot of the standard factoid type stuff a lot more that comes up in a lot of the descriptions and things that you read. And a lot of that kind of stayed in the background. And we talked more about the meat and potatoes of the why, which I love so much. So thank you.
You're welcome. Meat and potatoes. And guys, everyone listening, as always, thank you so much for being with us and being a part of our fam. Trust the Journey family.
Yeah, if you got value from this episode, please help us out, pay it forward, share. Anybody that you think might appreciate, enjoy the episode, send it on to them and help us get the word out.
Yeah, trustthejourney.today on all the social medias. Catch you on Instagram. We post a lot of extra value over on Instagram, so go and follow us there if you want. And we've mentioned it a few times. We are also on a mission to create community. And our initial goal with Patreon is 50 people supporting us at any level. So it could be $1 a month, whatever you're inspired to do. That's one of our goals. You can go to the links on the YouTube, or you can go to our website, trustthejourney.today, and scroll down and there's an orange button where it says donate to Patreon. And you can join us there. And you'll end up in our private Facebook group, which is where we're expanding the conversation even beyond these episodes. So yeah, if you're inspired, by all means, join us. And if not, that's super cool too. Being just listening and sharing is also amazing.
Fantastic. Absolutely. If you are inspired, no matter what, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of our family. And remember, keep laughing, keep loving.